Thank you for joining us.
It's good to be with you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. First of all, how are you doing this morning? It's been a busy month over at Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's been a busy several years at Cincinnati, but certainly this month, it was really great to be able to celebrate getting into the Big 12 in that expedited timeline in 2023. That was really important for us. And then the announcement of a new Big 12 commissioner here this week was really important too. So yeah, big things going on as always in college athletics and certainly at Cincinnati.
And that's a great question. I've been meaning to ask, have you had a chance to speak with Commissioner Yormak, or I should say incoming Commissioner Yormark? Sorry.
Yeah, so it's set up. I've gone back and forth on email, but we'll talk tomorrow, and I'll have a chance to talk to him then. But obviously, looking forward to it. Hear great things, and I think he's going to be a great fit.
Yeah, he's a very dynamic interviewer. I had a chance to listen to some of his earlier pieces. I know one of the big things that's going on right now is you guys have sold out season tickets for the first time in school history, and that's a big plus. And I believe student tickets are also sold out. How what kind of momentum is it like in the athletic department right now?
It's at an all-time high in so many different ways. I mean, obviously, coming off of the football season that we had, but really two football seasons. We've lost two football games in 2 years. We lost to Georgia in the Peach Bowl, and then obviously Alabama last year in the Cotton Bowl in the playoffs. So, that just creates so much momentum and energy around all of our different programs. And so you feel that every day here for sure. But, to have Nippert Stadium, historic Nippert Stadium, one of the oldest stadiums in the country, come alive this last year was just so fun to see. And then that led into selling out Nippert. We've sold out our season ticket allotment. We'll have a few single game tickets still available, but those will be at a premium. And the demand is just at an all-time high, and the fervor is at an all-time high. So fun times in Bearcat land.
You mentioned the excitement that's happening in Nippert Stadium right now with all this fantastic stuff happening in football. And I know that you guys have been looking at a huge campaign in order to help really expand the experience at Cincinnati for student athletes. Everything with the indoor practice facility, investments in nutrition, health, and wellness. It's the Day One Ready campaign. What is the latest that's happening with that campaign right now?
It's moving right along, and Day One Ready was something that we came up with early on, right after we had a chance to hear that we were going to be in the Big 12. We knew we didn't want to limp into the Big 12, and we wanted to be Day One ready to compete in all of our sports. And so that was really important to me. We had some catching up to do. Financially, we had some catching up to do. They've had a media contract that's paid them 3x what we've been making for several years. And so we know that we've got to benchmark where the Big 12 is at, find a way through donor support mostly to get to the level that we need to get to compete day one. So that's what the project is all about. That's what this campaign's about. So $100 million campaign. We're doing really well. We're over halfway there already. And part of that obviously is a new indoor facility for all of our sports, but obviously for football, primary use. And then we'll have a performance center, which will be mostly a football facility. But then we'll also have some nutritional elements for all of our student athletes in there as well. So that's a huge project, and we're getting tremendous support across the board from our great donors and fans.
That ties into sort of a question I had. Joining the Big 12 offers a substantial financial benefit to the program insofar as increased media rights revenues, et cetera. It also increases some expenses like travel for especially for non-revenue sports. I know the Bearcats will be a full member in the Big 12 after about two seasons, which is incredible. That's great, and we'll get obviously prorated revenue for those first couple of seasons. I don't want to get into specific numbers because I know some of that is more close to the vest and a bit speculative at this point. But what I'm more interested in, though, is how do you kind of balance a timeline to build around it when you're planning for these kinds of major shifts in program budgets? I know this day one campaign is a big part of that, but I mean, it's interesting to kind of think about, because I don't think a lot of regular fans really know about the moving parts that go on in the logistics of such an endeavor.
Budgeting is tricky right now, to be honest with you, but that's in a good way. You know, we know, like you said, what our prorated media rights agreement will be for the first 2 years in the conference. But then the great thing about the timing of our entry into the Big 12 is that in 2025, a new media rights deal is coming due for the Big 12. And so it's a chance for us to step in and be full members in every way financially at that time. So we don't have to wait as long as some of the other schools that have entered into new conferences have had to wait. So that's the great thing. That the difficult part is budgeting, because you don't know what it looks like after 2025 exactly. And, you know, we're going to budget conservatively. We're going to hope for X, but we're going to budget conservatively and make sure that we stay between the poles in terms of what we're going to spend. But we also know that we're going to need to support it over the next couple of years and then support it in a big way through donations even after 2025. Again, kind of playing catch up a little bit, being a non-Power 5 school going into the Power 5. There's just some natural things that we're going to have to do to increase in a lot of different ways.
I know that one of the other things that you also have ramping up is a new partnership that you actually have for tailgating and the fan experience. I'm a little curious to know more about this Revel XP partnership. I believe they are the official hospitality partner now for Cincinnati. A couple new field level suites all up in the north end zone. What kind of partnership does that kind of enhance the experience at Nippert Stadium and with Cincinnati Athletics?
Like I said, Nippert Stadium is one of the older stadiums in the country. It's so unique to us. It's an awesome stadium because it's tucked into our campus. It's very, if you haven't been here, it should be on your bucket list of places to go watch a college football game, because again, it's so unique. But one of the things that an old stadium does is you got to find ways to reinvent it and create some more energy inside that stadium. And so one of the things that we saw as we went to a couple different places around the country, we've seen it at UCF actually and some other locations. They started to have these field level suites, and they're great kind of party cove areas for people. You know, maybe not the best view, but you're right there with the action, and they're really kind of cool little spaces. And so we determined, at working with Revel XP, great partnership, we determined that we could put 7 suites in our end zone, and really just again make it a place that groups can get together and just have a lot of fun, birthday parties and celebrations like that. And so that's what we're going to do. It's going to be a unique experience. I'm sure we'll sell those out as we've sold out everything else in the stadium. So that will be great. And then they're also going to help us with our tailgating options. You know, a lot of these, a lot of schools are going to kind of this turnkey tailgate experience, and we had not done that yet. But we are going to do that with Revel and, you know, for a certain type of fan, certain type of donor, they just want to show up, have everything kind of laid out for them and just enjoy the day without having to lug all their tailgate stuff around. And so that's what we're going to offer to our fans there. So excited about that. It's going to change the game day experience a little bit for us, and that'll be a great thing.
You mentioned Nippert Stadium, obviously very historic, incredibly niche architecture that's been nationally recognized for some of the modern additions over the years. It definitely should be on college football fans' bucket lists. Beyond the Revel XP partnership, how do you manage the growth of the stadium and being able to respond to fan needs, increase popularity of the program, but also recognizing and retaining those unique features and trying to kind of keep up with the progress that we're seeing at a lot of these college football venues without losing the identity of the stadium?
We've done some really nice things over the years, you know, to update it, like you said, and kind of built around it. So it's an old structure with a lot of new, beautiful architecture built around it, which is kind of what makes it so unique, as you mentioned. But, you know, our suite level is fantastic. Our club level is great. And we can, upgrade that experience as we go along, and we will. The other thing that we realized what we had is, although it's tucked in the middle of campus, we don't have the barrier could be moved out. So what we did is we actually expanded the reach of Nippert so that you enter into the stadium by quite a bit further out from the stadium of what it was originally. So we realized that we could use part of campus and have people get in, enjoy tailgate experience around our tennis court area. And we've got a field that we're going to use as part of our tailgating experience that actually allows you to be inside the stadium, get through security, be inside the stadium and really enjoy the space that we have on campus. So we've been able to do that, helped us with our concession lines, helped us with our restroom lines and things like that. So that was a great improvement that we did last year. I was really proud of. And then as we go forward, you know, a lot of questions about seating capacity. We're going to look at that. I love the demand that we have right now. Demand is always important when you're talking about stadium size. So we're going to ride the wave of demand for a while, but eventually I suspect as we continue to grow, we're going to have to look at increasing some capacity in the stadium, especially for our student population, which is really wanting to get into the stadium right now. And then also look at some of the premium areas that we could offer as we look to expand the stadium as well.
One question we got from, obviously we have a lot of Cincinnati fans who follow this Twitter account, but also on Reddit, RCFB. Are the cutouts that are being used right now for FC Cincy a permanent change on the stadium in terms of, I think that was just sort of a general question because we have a lot of people who are also MLS fans, but are those going to be a permanent change?
Yeah, so we did some cutouts when we brought in the MLS team, and so that did reduce capacity by just a little bit in the stadium. I'm not sure if those cutouts will stay or what we'll do with those. We haven't talked a lot about a go-forward plan there. It's possible we could put some stands back there to add a few seats, but right now we're gonna keep them and then try to make a bigger decision about the scale and size of the stadium and seating capacity at the right time.
I wanted to also ask about sort of just student athlete success, because I know football's been, Coach Fickell's got a 100% graduation rate. And I think, how high is that APR score? Is it perfect so far? Or I know it's up there and you've had several academic All-Americans. How important are academics to, when you plan all of this, because I mean, I sometimes think lose the bigger picture of an athletic department, and you as an athletic director, how much of a part of that is in your mind at a given time?
I started talking about this a while back when our APR score came out and we got our graduation numbers and our GPA. To me, this football season ended with the APR score of 1,000 and ended with our incredible team GPA and the things we're able to accomplish in the classroom. And that completed the picture of this team. It wasn't just about the all-time greatest season in Bearcat football history, but then to see what they did academically was the whole picture. And that was really, really important to me. I think it tells a story about the culture of the program. I think it tells a story about how important academics are to Coach Fickell. It always starts with the head coach. If it's important to the head coach, it will be important to the team. And I feel that from all of our head coaches, but specifically the success in football, it just shows that, if you do things right off the field, that a lot of times it'll translate to on the field. And it's a great story for us to tell. And across the board, we had so many of our student athletes do special things in the classroom. So again, I think that's the complete picture of the season is that 1,000 perfect score APR. It's really special.
John, I can definitely confirm that with Nippert being a bucket list item. I actually got to go to one of those games in 2018 against South Florida. Mike Warren had an incredible game that day, was an awesome interview afterwards. You know, got to go have a drink down at Catskeller, had an incredible time out there. But, you know, you're in Cincinnati now, and I got to ask, Skyline Chili, your thoughts on it?
So I'm on board with Skyline Chili in the winter. So that, I got a weird take on it, but it, I love Skyline, great partner of ours, by the way, tremendous food. I love it in the winter on a cold day. That's my go-to, you know, when it's a little chilly here, I go get some Skyline. My kids now, I got twin boys that are 9, almost 10. They want it every day. If I drive by a Skyline Chili, they're asking me to pull over and stop and get a Coney. And they're all over it. So it is part of the culture here. You know, it really is. And it's cool to see my kids kind of grow up now in Cincinnati and kind of adopt that culture. But it's a must go to stop when you arrive in Cincinnati, for sure.
You mentioned that partnership, and I know that they have that awesome partnership where they give that big block of Skyline's cheddar cheese to recognize a big block of the game from the Bearcats offensive line. How does that kind of partnership come about, and what has it been like running an athletic department where you have to find these type of partnerships in NIL?
That one came about with a great partnership that we had in town with a company called Empower. And a supporter of ours named Jim Price that runs that company. And he was really incredible putting that together. He immediately saw the big picture of NIL and what it could mean for our teams and our student athletes. And so he kind of orchestrated that. And it's exactly what, I've told everybody this, that's exactly what NIL is supposed to be, which is young people learning something new about the business world. They had to go participate in these commercials. They spent a lot of time working with Empower, the company that helped put that together, and Skyline Chili, and they kind of got the details of it. They got some money. They got some product. They got a chance to build their brand the right way. And we got support from one of our sponsors. And so that's what it was supposed to be. I love that commercial. It's a very high quality production, and the more of that we can do, the better. And it was so great that it was our offensive line too, and it really started with one offensive lineman that went out and then brought his teammates to the fold, which is a cool story as well.
You've worked for a variety of different athletic departments over the years. You've got to see kind of how different approaches work in terms of whether you're going out and finding a new coach, retaining a coach, that kind of thing. You were on the Minnesota staff that brought in PJ Fleck. And then when you came to Cincinnati, you joined a department that already had Luke Fickell. But obviously there was going to be a need to retain him because he was already putting out quality, consistent, high achieving teams. Can you share some thoughts on how the experiences compare of looking for a new P5 coach, based off of what you saw at Minnesota versus retaining what is about to be a new P5 coach in Luke Fickell at Cincinnati?
I tell everybody that the coaches are vital to what you do in an athletics department. And I view them as part of my senior staff because they're going to have the biggest influence over our ultimate goal, which is to put student athletes out into the world that are better people than when they showed up to campus. So it's absolutely crucial that you get the right head coaches across the board in all of your sports. But as we know, in football, both basketball, so those are crucial in terms of making sure that we've got the right individual. So when you walk into a situation and your head coach is Luke Fickell, you can't be in a better spot as a new athletic director, because I tell people he's just a tremendous person, and oh, by the way, he's a hell of a football coach, and that's a really good combination and not one that you find everywhere. So I was fortunate. I knew very early on that his culture was strong. I knew very early on that he approached things the right way, and that he cared tremendously for the student athletes on his team. And so, yeah, anything we could do to keep him, we were going to try to do. But ultimately, he wants to be here, and this is a place I know he feels comfortable. there is not a better fit for the University of Cincinnati athletics than Luke Fickell, and we're lucky to have him.
You know, I know you've had an opportunity to work with Mark Coyle quite a bit, at his stops as athletic director at Boise State, Syracuse, and Minnesota. Can you talk about that relationship and what you've learned from all those years working with him?
No, it's a close relationship. He is absolutely my mentor, somebody I look up to in a lot of different ways. As I talked about Coach Fickell, I mean, Mark's the same way. He's just a tremendous person, first and foremost, and has taught me so much about just how to, number one, keep your family first. Number two, really focus in on the student athlete and the student athlete experience. And if you kind of follow that as your guide, then you're going to have the right staff and you're going to do the right things. And so I wouldn't be here without him for sure. I feel like we went through a lot of different tough situations together. We had a lot of fun together. We celebrated wins and together and great moments. So I can't say enough about who he is and the departments that he has ran at Boise State, Syracuse, and now Minnesota.
What is important about being a mentor? What have you learned in terms of, like, because obviously now you're in the position to mentor those who work with you. What are some of those important things that you think a mentor should do?
I think they have to be, you have to be somebody that's honest with your mentee. And sometimes that means that you got to really tell them the truth about things they're doing well and things they're not doing well. And you got to be able to have that relationship. And then, you know, I think the other thing is you've got to listen to what their goals are and then be really intentional and active about trying to set somebody up to be successful and reach their goals. And it's not easy. It takes time. That's what I really appreciated about Mark. When I first sat down and talked to him, I was working in the compliance office and he asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, I want to be an athletic director. And you know, a lot of people will hear that, but then, you know, file it away and not do much to help somebody out. But at that time he said, I'm going to help you get there. And then he progressively over time took active steps to put me in a position to really handle a lot of the bigger issues in college athletics and understand them. A lot of times I tell this story. I felt like I shouldn't have been in the room because I didn't offer much, but he wanted me in the room, if nothing else, just to listen and learn. And I think that's really important too, is to recognize those moments where you can bring somebody up into a position that maybe they're not fully ready for, but just to have them in the room listening and learning is important too.
I just have to say, I appreciate the fact that you began in compliance. I also graduated from law school in 2005. So the guy who was in my class who decided to go into athletic department moved right into the Gopher athletic department as a compliance guy. He's at Cal now. But I just think it's great. I mean, that's always, isn't that it? We're lawyers who decide they want to go in the athletic departments. That's our home. We are compliance oriented people. So I think that's tremendous. Oh goodness.
If you're talking about Jay Larson, he's one of the best people I know. Is that who you're talking about?
Oh yeah, I am talking about Jay. Okay, I figured it's small enough.
He's my guy.
Where all of you all would know each other. Yeah, no, Jay and I were classmates. So I think that's great.
Yeah, he's one of the best out there.
Shout out to Jay. I was halfway tempted to ask you a Paul's Graph question because I still teach torts at the U. But, you know, just to kind of to have a weird throwback to first year torts or something like that.
Don't do that. I tell people I know just enough to get myself into trouble at this point. And even that amount of knowledge is starting to slip away. So, yeah, don't go there.
John, speaking of a small world, I know that you are a Horned Frog, did that for your undergrad. I, too, did TCU for my undergrad. And we actually shared time on campus together. You were working with Danny Morrison, Chris Del Conte during TCU's rise to BCS prominence and the Rose Bowl win. And I was out there in the stands as a student cheering on those games. But I'm kind of curious, you know, TCU went through the transition of being a non-AQ to being an AQ, kind of in a similar way that Cincinnati's transitioning from a G5 power to a Power 5 team. What kind of lessons did you learn from TCU during that era that you're able to apply today with Cincinnati's transition?
You know, it's a really cool symmetry there, because when I was at TCU and really at Boise State, we were always that program that was just on the brink, and we were doing everything we could to show that we could compete at the very highest level, and always felt like we deserved to compete at that level. I was at TCU when Andy Dalton had the run in football and went to the Fiesta Bowl and then the Rose Bowl, and it was just incredible. It reminds me so much of what took place here over the last couple of years, which is you're punching above your weight a little bit. And it's all about culture and the culture that Coach Patterson had there and the culture of the athletics department. And so the symmetry, like I said, is just remarkable. And we actually just hired a CFO that spent time at TCU and was at TCU during the transition from the Mountain West to the Big 12. So, that CFO John Daniel kind of gets the idea of what we're trying to accomplish. And so that was really important when we made that hire.
On the subject of moving to the Big 12, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. So beyond football and basketball, are there some programs in the athletics department that you're excited for in terms of the opportunities that they're going to get in terms of moving to a new conference, maybe being on a little bit of a bigger stage than they were, having some access to some more fans, some more revenue, that kind of thing?
I'm excited for all of our programs and all of our student athletes that get a chance to be a part of the Big 12 and experience that. But certainly, you know, maybe if you dig in a little bit more, women's basketball, you know, I think that they're going to be put on a different level of a stage. Women's volleyball, our volleyball team is going to be competing at a different level and on a different stage in my mind. Certainly golf's and tennis and baseball is another one. You know, when you talk about the baseball programs of the Big 12, I'm excited for our young men on our baseball team to go up against some of those programs. So really across the board, I could go through everyone, soccer, track. They're all going to be exposed to a different a level of competition, but then a different fan bases, different locations, and different media exposure, which I'm really excited about.
So just as a quick reminder, this is RCFB Talk 40. We are here with John Cunningham, Director of Athletics for Cincinnati Bearcats. John, do you have more time? We weren't sure if this was going for 30 or 45. And we want to respect your time. Obviously, you're very busy.
No, I'm good, guys.
Okay, excellent. So my next question was, and this might be a touch academic, but I find approaches to leadership fascinating. And as a director of athletics, who do you identify as your primary stakeholders? And I guess, how do you approach that?
You have a lot of stakeholders. I think you start, you know, I look at student athletes, number one. I've got to make sure that our student athletes are taken care of, but certainly your fan base is part of that equation as well, and your donor base. You know, we've got 400,000 living alumni. We're a big school. I think some people don't realize how big of a school we are, but 45,000 undergrad, and you know, we've got a lot of people that are passionate all across the country, and so I really do feel an obligation to do everything we can to steward our program so that they're excited and feel proud about what we're trying to accomplish here. So they're certainly a stakeholder. And then, you know, we have a board, a 9-member board that is a stakeholder. And then my boss is the president of the university, Dr. Neville Pinto. And so I feel responsibility to all of them as well to keep this thing going the right way.
As y'all are moving up into the Big 12, I'm sure that non-conference scheduling for football is certainly going to have a little bit of a change in philosophy, or maybe there's going to be some kind of adaptation with it. Y'all are going to be playing Pitt in 2023 and 2024. Are there any plans for extending that into the future or other series with Power 5 teams? And more importantly, is the paddle wheel trophy going to be on the table for those Pitt games?
You know, I don't know about that. I'd love to bring that back. I need to do a little research on that one, to be 100% honest with you, because it's been a while since we played them, and I wasn't here when we did. But would love to. I love all those trophy games coming from the Big Ten. I was at for 4 years. Those are always fun to be a part of. But yeah, you know, I think there's a formula for, you know, doing this type of scheduling. When you look at the probability of a 9-game. Conference schedule. I think the formula for us, when you're looking at 3 non-conference, is going to be a Power 5 home and home, a mid-major, and then probably an FCS opponent. And you just kind of factor all those in and try to come up with the best scenario for your team to really prepare you for the gauntlet, which is the Big 12 schedule. So you gotta put it into a bucket and make sure it all comes out the right way and make sure your coach is on board with what you're trying to do scheduling wise. So that'll be a big, big part of the conversation as well.
You mentioned the use of mid-majors as an important point of non-conference scheduling. What are the odds that Miami, Ohio, continues to be one of those mid-majors? The Victory Bell, that's a rivalry that's gone back to the 19th century. Do they get a primary preference as that mid-major?
They do, as far as I'm concerned, and you know, I've talked to Coach Fickell about it. We feel really strongly about that game. We like the system that we have now, which is they come here, we go to Paul Brown, we play Miami at the Bengals Stadium, and then we go up to Miami. And you know, it's just, they're right up the road, not too far away, and an easy bus trip for both teams and fan bases. And so, to me, it just makes all the sense in the world to keep that going and keep the this long standing rivalry in place.
As a team that, or a program that's transitioning from G5 to P5, is that going to play a role in, you know, your mindset when it comes to making some of these scheduling decisions, in terms of, you know, we were there, we know how hard it can be sometimes to get access to these opponents. So we're more willing to be open to playing some of the mid-major type teams, you know, when our schedule permits it.
You know, I think we'll probably feel that a little bit more on the basketball side, more on the football side. Again, if our formula is Power 5 home and home, Group of 5 team, which is almost always going to be Miami of Ohio, and then an FCS, you know, we don't really have a lot of room in the football schedule for that type of consideration. But when it comes to basketball, I think we will think about that and schedule accordingly and make sure that we give some options to those teams around us. I think staying regional is always important when you start looking at some of those non-conference games. If you can stay regional, easier on your student athletes in terms of their travel and their time away from class, and then also great for fan bases to be able to travel as well.
When you first arrived at Cincinnati, and you know, you obviously, it was a lot of preparation. You knew what you were getting into. You knew what the attraction was for applying and becoming the next athletic director of the program. But it's I think interesting to take on such a big project, because people don't realize exactly how broad an athletic department really is. Did you have any kind of surprises or that you didn't expect when you arrived on campus, learning about all the nuances of the athletic department that, you know, I mean, I was just curious about that, because, you know, sometimes you'll talk to someone who takes the helm of a large organization and suddenly it's like, oh, I did not know we were doing that. Or, you know, or I didn't know that was kind of the story behind that. Were there moments like that at Cincy?
You know, maybe a little bit. I had for a while from a distance been paying attention to their program, so I knew a little bit about what what was going on. And again, having been at TCU and Boise State, I understood that constant battle of being that really high performing group of five school. And so I think that helped me as I stepped into the chair to really understand what the needs of the department were. But at the same time, I think, you know, maybe something that surprised me a little bit was how much attention the city of Cincinnati gives to the Bearcats. You know, I think when I was, you know, coming in here, you think, well, it's a pro sports town. It's got a lot going on. But this is certainly a town that pays attention, wants the Bearcats to do well. The media has been great here and gives us a lot of coverage in all areas. And so that really felt good coming in here. It reminded me of being in those smaller college towns and that was really important to me. And then I think the other thing that just stands out, and I don't know if it was a surprise, but just once you get on campus, and I hadn't actually physically been here before, the most surprising thing is what we call Athletes Village, which is everything in our athletics department is in a very small footprint. And so it's so easy for our coaches and student athletes to interact, and our student athletes can basically do everything they need to do right in one building or two buildings and then go over to campus to get their classes in. But it's just unique to our campus. And again, our football stadium's cut into that Athletes Village. We've got our tennis courts here and our basketball arenas here, and all of our offices are in one 8-story building. So that's really, really unique and special to Cincinnati.
You have a handful of traditions at Cincinnati, like down the drive, the cannon that goes off from the ROTC after scores. Is there any specific tradition that you love at Cincinnati that is unique to Cincinnati?
You know, I love down the drive. You mentioned that one. I love that our band runs down these really treacherous stairs to start the game. I think that's always fun to watch. That's a fun one. You know, I'm trying to, our basketball games have a vibe to them and a feel. I'm trying to think of specifics there, but certainly we pack the house in Fifth Third, and this is a basketball community that loves their college basketball. So, there's a lot of things there and traditions there, but it's a great fan base. And how often as an athletic director can you point to a full football stadium and full basketball arena on almost every game basis? I mean, that's pretty special. So we've got a great fan base.
John, we've covered a lot of ground in this interview. Is there something that you're just extremely excited about that we haven't talked about yet? An aspect of the program or the department that you're, you know, really, really proud of, the something they've done, something to look forward to going into the rest of the 2022 into 2023 academic year that you want to share with us?
You know, I think just the growth of our department here recently. You know, we've been able to add some key pieces and really focus in on the student athlete experience. We added a full-time mental health clinician that will have a chance to hire some more help as well. So we're really building out the mental health support of our student athletes, which I think is special. And then we've hired a dietitian, and that person will be able to build out a team as well. So some of these things that these Power Five schools, high revenue schools have been able to do, we're getting a chance to do. And I just appreciate the support from our board and our president to go ahead and understand the need to build the department up in advance of getting to the Big 12. Again, we don't want to limp into the Big 12. We want to make sure that we're ready to compete day one. And a lot of that has to do with our student athlete experience and the support we give them. So really proud of that. And excited about the direction of the program in so many different levels, and appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Obviously, a lot of your tenure so far has been unfortunately kind of defined by the pandemic and everything that it's brought on. With the shift to the Big 12, the easing of pandemic restrictions, has there been an impact that you've had on trying to build up your staff in the athletics department? Some things that maybe you were kind of hamstrung a little bit by the pandemic, that now you're kind of able to put the foot on the gas. You mentioned being able to bring in the department's first director of sports psychology and a dietitian. Anything else that, you know, maybe some unforeseen obstacles that you've encountered from when you interviewed for the job versus now looking back a few years later?
You know, one of the things that we really wanted to focus in on again was health of the student athlete. And so the other piece of the puzzle that we brought in and just recently was a senior associate to oversee all health and wellness of our student athletes. And so we brought Brad Pike from Syracuse, somebody I worked with at Syracuse, trusted implicitly, somebody I think is just extremely talented, to oversee all those aspects. So strength conditioning, mental health, nutrition, training room, all would report up to him. And that was just something that was really important to me, that I had somebody on my executive team that every day was looking at the health of our athletes. And I got that from Minnesota with Joy Thomas at Minnesota, who's a tremendous administrator. And that was kind of Mark Coyle's vision as well. So took that and was able to bring that here. And again, I think that just makes us a different level of program when you start digging in on all aspects of a student athlete experience. So excited about that.
A couple of final questions. One thing I'm wanting to ask, I mean, I know you decided, I read you decided midway through law school to head in athletics in administration and obviously compliance. What advice would you give to someone who might be listening, who's interested in following in that kind of, you know, college sports administration career?
You know, one of the things that I did was I let people know sort of what my end goal was early on. Like I mentioned, you know, I think that's always important to put it out in the universe, what you want to do. And then you'll figure out very quickly those that are going to help you get there and those that say they will, but don't. And so, you know, having that mentor or two in the business, maintaining great relationships in the business, really, really deep relationships, people that you can trust and talk to and bounce things off of is really, really important. And, you know, I think you got to have those relationships so that someday you get in the mix. And then once you're in the mix for a job and to advance your career, then it's on you to make sure you're prepared. So I always tell people you got to communicate with people and build those relationships just to kind of get in the mix. And then from there you take it. So that'd be my piece of advice.
So one last question. Obviously, there's incredible momentum right now for the Bearcats with the move to the Big 12, appearing in the college football playoff, success in the NFL draft, and, you know, inked a contract extension with Coach Fickell to 2028. What are the challenges facing you with managing expectations after such a tremendous year?
That's going to be something we're going to be challenged with for sure. I mean, we had the greatest, like I said, the greatest football season in the history of our program. But the great thing about our coaches is that they're not satisfied. The great thing about our department is that we're in full growth mode and there's so much excitement that it's just what's next. What can we do to get better? That there's that feeling around the department from every unit. And so that's a really exciting time to be in a department where everybody's thinking growth. And so, you know, Coach Fickell has put last season behind you. I guarantee that. Coach Wes Miller has got his team set up, ready to go this year. I was just down at practice the other day, and they look like a brand new squad and just a lot of energy and a lot of talent there. And then really across the board with all of our sports, people are starting to recruit at a higher level. We got 2 5-star tennis recruits for the first time to commit to us, and then our men's golf program has their best recruiting class ever. So you're starting to see it in a lot of different ways, and so you know it's going to just be about what's next and moving on, putting last year to bed and seeing what we can accomplish this year, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Tremendous. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time and. It was great to hear about Cincinnati athletics and a bit about your career. We enjoyed it a lot. Thank you for joining us, John.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
Yeah, thank you. And on behalf of all of us, we wanted to thank all of you who decided to sit in and listen to this. We appreciate it. This is RCFB Talk. My name is Bob Ekayeri. We've got JD Moore and Sirius. We like to host these shows. We do interviews. We also do a weekly talk on Tuesday nights. So if you got a chance to tune into this late and you wanted to hear the whole thing, this link will turn into a recording immediately afterwards and it'll be available for 30 days so you can share it with whomever. They don't have to have a Twitter account. We just wanted to thank all of you and we hope the rest of your week is good. And again, thanks for joining us.